This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to my Strang Report podcast. I am so honored today to talk to what I believe is one of the most important ministries in America that is helping feed people. Well, they're helping in lots of ways, but with everything that's going on, they have just passed giving out 20 million meals. And we're going to find out today about Convoy of Hope from its founder, my longtime friend, Hal Donaldson. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Well, welcome back, everyone, and welcome to you, Hal. We have known each other almost since we were children, or at least it seems like
right.
That, doesn't it?
That's right, and you've just been a great friend and cheerleader, Steve. I just thank you and Joy so much for all that you've done for us. Good to be with you today.
Well, thank you. And I have, you know, watched you develop into a real leader, knew you really as a journalist beforehand who had this huge vision. How in the world did a guy who's a journalist come up with an idea of doing something like Convoy of Hope?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are several things that happened. One was I was given a book project in my 20s that took me to Calcutta, India. And, you know, when I arrived to write the book for my host, they said, well, there's someone we want you to interview. And they took me over to meet Mother Teresa. And in the course of that interview, she just stopped me and she asked, she said, young man, what are you doing to help the poor and the suffering? And I figured, well, it's probably not a good idea to lie to Mother Teresa. And so I told her the truth. I said, I'm really not doing much of anything. And she said, well, everyone can do something. And those words were haunting. I came back to the States and was praying one day, and I felt like God gave me an idea, and that was to travel to 8 cities in America, live in the streets for 3 days and 3 nights. I went to Miami, Atlanta, Chicago, D.C., New York, major cities. And all I can tell you, Steve, is that God gave me a vision for really helping the church get outside its walls and to be outward looking and to reach out to the poor and the suffering. So we started very small with a pickup truck and a U-Haul trailer and box truck, you know, just 26 years ago. But since that time, we've been able to serve more than 130 million people and tell them that Jesus loves them.
Wow. And about 5 years ago, maybe a little longer, I was in Springfield and you took me around and showed me your facilities, which then was huge. And you had all these semi-trucks, and we've even worked with you. It's been a few years ago, but had a couple of semi-trucks full of food down here to Sanford, Florida, which, you know, just a couple of years later, Trayvon Martin was killed. Most people would remember that name.
Yeah.
And it was 2 miles from my office, probably about 5 or 6 miles a different direction from where we had that set up. And, you know, this is not about Trayvon Martin, but I'll just make this point. It gave us an enormous amount of favor in the Black community, and we formed a lot of friendships. And when Trayvon Martin was killed, of course, the city was in an uproar, mainly because of outside agitators. Trayvon was from Miami. He was visiting here. And so, you know, nobody knew him, of course. But it was very, very unsettling. There were some of the outsiders that said Sanford would burn to the ground. And the Christian leaders, the same people that worked with us on that, did we call it Convoy of Hope? Or
We did. Yeah. But I've not heard this story. This is encouraging to me.
Well, I can tell you more when we're not recording a podcast. But literally, one of those people contacted me this week from Facebook and made reference to the unrest that's going on and just made a comment about that. He's since moved to Charlotte. But I mean, you know, you just never know things that would happen. And it was because of that. So I have seen, first of all, I've known for your ministry for a long time and seen up close and personal what you've done and seen how Jesus was proclaimed at the same time that, you know, it seems to me you not only gave out food, but there were like barbers to give people haircuts and, you know, just really kind of help people get on their feet, but really to show the love of Jesus in a very, very tangible way. But anyway, the ministry is huge. How many semis do you have now?
Oh, wow. Well over 20 in the U.S. and probably another 50 box trucks overseas. I mean, I'm probably not even counting them all, but it's a big number. Yeah.
And you respond to hurricane disasters, other kinds of disasters. Now we have this COVID-19, I'm going to call it a disaster. And then, of course, the unrest that everyone is so familiar with. Tell me what Convoy of Hope is doing right now. And this milestone, I mean, this is big news, 20 million meals. In what period of time is that?
Yeah, 8 weeks. And, you know, we decided that we weren't going to just circle the wagons and be protective of what we have. We decided we were going to be outward looking, and we set a goal initially of 10 million meals, and we went forward, accomplished that in just a few weeks. And here was the exciting thing for me, Steve, is that we sent out word that, hey, we want to saturate America. We want to help churches reach out to their community. In just a matter of days, well over 1,000 churches that are part of Convoy of Hope responded. And they said, we're ready to be a distribution center. And so we've just kept going. I mean, I don't know where this will end. It could be 50 million before it's all over, 50 million meals. But it's been really exciting for me to see the churches step up and to serve their community. Now, you need to know that the lines at these distribution sites are often 2 and 3 miles long of cars just lined up, waiting to receive help. And part of it is, I think, people have lost their jobs, and you've had schools close, and so kids have lost access to school lunch programs. But anyway, I just think the need is still great, and so we're just going to keep going.
And today we want to share the need, and I want to encourage people to support it. Of course, you know, you're a big ministry and you get funds from lots of different sources. And of course, you've built up a huge base over time. But, you know, you constantly need people to see the vision and come alongside. And Joy and I have been donors ourselves. In fact, just recently, I made a personal donation because I believe in what you're doing. And before the podcast is up, I want you to, you know, tell people how they can find out more about Convoy and get involved or get their churches involved. You know, there are a lot of churches that want to do something, but they're a little bit like you when you talk to Mother Teresa. You know, they're not doing anything and they sort of don't know what to do. But Convoy of Hope is a ministry with very, very high integrity. You know, you don't have to have me say that. I mean, you know, anyone who knows the ministry knows that. You work closely with the Assemblies of God, but you're not really a part of the Assemblies of God. It's kind of interesting how that works. You work with lots of groups in lots of places and really just showing the love of Jesus. So I just thought of something, Hal, that we've done stories on you before, and I think the story of your own childhood and the, I'm going to call it poverty. Maybe you weren't literally at the poverty level, but it was certainly difficult. Why don't you tell my listeners what happened to you, the tragedy that happened to you when you were a child?
Yeah, when I was 12, Steve, my father and mother were hit by a drunken driver. My father was killed instantly, and my mother was seriously injured and was in the hospital for quite some time and unable to work for some time. And so my dad didn't have insurance, and the man who hit him didn't have insurance. And so our family was forced to survive on welfare. So I grew up as a teenager with holes in my shoes and holes in my jeans, and that's before it was cool to have holes in your jeans. But, you know, the cupboards were often empty, and there were times that we had to go to school without a sack lunch in our hands. So as a teen, I really experienced the shame of poverty, but I also experienced the power of kindness. And, you know, as a kid, I was able to connect the dots between acts of kindness that were directed toward me and the goodness of God. I connected those dots. And so I wasn't angry at God. I really felt like those bags of groceries that were coming to our door from local churches, that was God who sent them there. And I was able to really understand that God loved me. But, you know, if it wasn't for the kindness, those simple acts of kindness, I'm not sure where I would be today. I certainly wouldn't be talking to you. I wouldn't be involved with Convoy of Hope. You know, I'm not sure where I'd be. But it was those acts of kindness that really changed my life. And, you know, what happens, Steve, is like when you are poor, you begin a quest as a kid not to be poor anymore. And that certainly was the quest that I was on throughout my teen years. And it probably was at the university, getting my degree in journalism. It was probably there where I finally made a decision, you know, I believe in Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I want to emulate him. And if I'm going to emulate him, I need to meet both physical and spiritual needs.
Boy, that's strong. And, you know, if somebody doesn't get anything else out of this podcast, Boy, if that could just really sink into your spirit and to hear what he just said, I mean, it was acts of kindness. And what I'm thinking of is, in fact, you're motivating me. I try to be a generous person, but I need to be more proactive to do acts of kindness because, you know, probably not every single one, of course, has an effect, but some of them will in ways that you probably never. Those people that brought groceries, most of them now are probably long dead, but they would have had no idea, none, zero, that it would have such an effect on your life and that it would have a ripple effect in the sense that you have influenced so many other people. And, you know, there's probably many, many, many people touched by Convoy of Hope whose life will be changed forever because of what happened.
Yeah, I mean, I tell people all the time, just do the next kind thing that Jesus puts in front of you and seldom resist that impulse to do something kind. And, you know, just give you one story, for example. As a teenager, I attended church. I was wearing tennis shoes. A woman spotted the fact that I had holes in my tennis shoes. So she goes to my mother and says, "Do you mind if I take Hal to Kenny's Shoes to buy him a new pair of shoes?" So I walked in the door of Kenny's Shoes with this woman and who attended the church. And, you know, Steve, back then, I mean, times have really changed, but back then they would sell shoes for $2.99, $3.99, and $4.99. And all the rich kids wore the $4.99 pair. All I knew was the $2.99. But when I walked in the door, this woman waved me over. She said, "No, Hal, today you're not getting the $2.99 pair. Today you're getting the best they have." Well, as a 13 or 14-year-old kid, the impression that left on my life was huge. Simple acts of kindness, God can take them, and there's incredible power in them, and that can change a life, and it did mine.
Praise God. That's just such a beautiful story, and this is so inspiring. So let's circle back to Convoy and the meals. You're doing the meals because, you know, so many people are out of work and are hurting and hungry, and, you know, they may not be starving to death, but they can sure use an extra meal, you know, especially for the ways that you were describing just now.
A friend of mine is a church historian, and he said that he believes that what's happening now in the 1,000-plus churches across the country is the largest compassion evangelism initiative at one time in the history of the United States.
Wow. That's an impressive statistic, and, you know, congratulations on that achievement.
Well, I'm not sure if it's true, but it certainly will be in the top probably 5 or 10.
Well, even that's pretty impressive. But, you know, the interesting thing to me is that I know you well enough to know that you did not go for a Guinness Book of World Records. But,
right.
But it isn't amazing when you have something and you give it to God, how he multiplies it. I mean, isn't that the story of the loaves and fishes?
It's so true. My daughter said this. She's 21 years of age, and she just said that she's never been more proud of the church than she is right now, seeing the church just step up in such a big way.
So what's the vision for the future, and how can my listeners get involved?
Well, pertaining to COVID-19, you know, we're just going to keep going, keep our trucks rolling, meeting as many needs as we can. Someone asked me the other day, "Well, how much is this costing?" And I said, "I really don't know. It's costing millions." I mean, it is. It's costing millions of dollars to do this. But we've never really, Steve, we've never budgeted for disasters, because if you're going to budget for a disaster, you're going to be hoarding resources. You're going to be sticking millions of dollars away. And we just have never felt over these 26 years that's what God wanted us to do. And so we just respond. When there's a major disaster, Convoy responds. We just go for it and trust God to bring funds in on the back end. And for 26 years, he has. So we've spent millions on this disaster response, but we're confident God will bring it in because that's just how he's operated. So, you know, anytime people would like to give to an initiative like this, they certainly can go to our website, which is convoyofhope.org. For the future beyond this, we feed 300,000 children every single day in 18 different countries around the world. And these are underprivileged kids. And so we feed them at school, because if you feed them in school, the parents keep the child in school. If you don't feed them at school, they may be out on a street corner begging or scavenging for food off of garbage heaps. And so we're going to keep doing that. And we've set a goal of 1 million children. Our goal over the next 5 years is to get to 1 million kids who can wake up every morning knowing they have access to food and pure drinking water. So those are a couple of the initiatives that we have right in front of us.
Well, I'm thinking of how much this must cost. Here, you know, you almost couldn't get a meal for less than, what, $3 or $4? So at a very minimum, this would be a dollar each. So that's like $300,000 a day or $1 million a day. I mean, that's just hard to get my mind around. And where does all the money come, especially when you have these disasters? Because, you know, we have hurricanes down here in Florida, so we pay a lot of attention to hurricanes. And, you know, every single time I see things about Convoy of Hope bringing relief to people or food or whatever you guys bring. And I'm familiar enough with your world to know that sometimes the food that's given away isn't necessarily the kind of food that people need. It's just like excess food that the people who make it have to get rid of it after a certain time. And so it goes to the poor. In fact, I know of a church in my area that was giving away food, and I found out it was all this bulk food that they couldn't be selling to the restaurants because the restaurants were all closed and it was going to spoil. So, I mean, you could get a big thing of avocados. Well, I mean, fine, but you know, you need to eat more than that. So how do you guys do all this? I mean, how do you prepare it and get it from point A to point B and so forth?
Well, first, let me just say that, you know, one of our core values is that recipients of the food, the people who attend our outreaches, people who come to a distribution, we consider them guests of honor. And we believe that Jesus wants them to have the best, much like me walking into Kenny's shoes. The woman said, no, today you get the best. We approach it that way. So you're not going to see Convoy of Hope giving away things that aren't good, aren't nutritious. It's just not who we are. It's one of our core values. But I do want to give credit to those that make it all possible, and it's major corporations. I mean, it's the Kellogg's, it's the Bass Pro Shops, it's major corporations, Hormel, Culligan. It's their generosity that makes it possible for us to pick up donated truckloads of donated food and supplies that we're able to distribute to people in need. So, you know, that's a big part of this. The other is, I think, the generosity of churches. You know, churches, corporations, what are they looking for? They're looking for someone that they can invest in that they trust, that they know that their word means something. They're going to do what they say they're going to do, and they're going to under-promise and over-deliver. I mean, that's what they're looking for. And we've tried to become a corporation, an organization, a ministry that is has a reputation, has earned a reputation for being trustworthy. And I've found that people are incredibly generous when they know that you're trustworthy. And, you know, I've said this before, that I just really do believe that God will entrust to those he trusts. And so at Convoy, we just want to do as much as possible to do things right so that God can entrust us with even more.
Boy, that's well said. And I'm just so thankful for a ministry like yours on a personal basis. I'm thankful for our friendship over the years. You and I only see each other, what, maybe once or twice a year at the most.
Right.
But, you know, there's just a friendship there. We have a mutual admiration society, I think.
We do.
I tell people that I'm the president of the Hal Donaldson Fan Club of Central Florida. And,
thank you.
You know, in various ways, we've tried to be supportive in writing about your ministry, you know, being involved like I described before, and doing this podcast. And I just want to really encourage people to get involved. And if you don't get involved with this ministry, get involved in a local ministry. Do something. We all need to do something. As followers of Jesus, we need to. And it's not just to earn our way to heaven. It's because, you know, this is an outgrowth of the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And, you know, as Spirit-filled people, we don't want to just sing and shout and praise the Lord. We want to be the hands of Jesus to help people in need. And Convoy of Hope is just a beautiful ministry. And Hal Donaldson, as you can tell from his conversation demeanor, is a beautiful person, and I just thank God for you. And as we wrap up this podcast, I'll give you the last word.
Well, I'm gonna reciprocate, and I want to say thank you for the incredible service you have provided the kingdom of God for many, many years. I remember your humble beginnings, and you've been faithful, and you have honored the Lord. You have helped the church be a better church. And I just want to thank you and Joy and certainly Cameron, who I've known for many years as well. I want to thank you just for who you are and the service you've been to the kingdom of God. I don't get to say it enough, but I do mean that. Thank you.
You're too kind. But was that your last word, or is the last
That's
word?
That's my last word.
That's your
That's
last
it.
Word.
Yes.
We'll just have to leave it there then and thank my listeners for listening to the Strang Report today. Share this with others. You know, that's how the podcasts grow. And so far in 2020, we're almost at 3 million downloads. And it's because people like what they hear and they come back the next day. And I hope you will do this. Well, of course, we'll put this on social media. I'll write about it online on charismanews.com. But really, it's people like you who share it. So share it far and wide. This is a story that needs to get out. And of course, Convoy has many ways they get the word out. But, you know, today with our podcast, hopefully we can add to the people who know, respect, and support this very, very important ministry. Thank you for listening to the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.